This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are off and running on a Tuesday night. What a night. We've got some great baseball games on the eve of the start of the NFL season, an aftermath of a full week of college football. That's Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. Mr. Eumanns, we don't have a lot of time to waste. We got a Yankees game starting in just a little bit with a big name back in the lineup. We've got the Miz Kid on the hill in Milwaukee, which may or may not be a home game or a road game for the Milwaukee Brewers. How are you, sir?
Doing great. We have a big-time baseball card tonight, so looking forward to that. We've got a tennis match that's a marathon here in the fifth set. Mickelson and Big Foe, and this is a, you know, I don't watch a lot of tennis, but this has been a hell of a match between these two back and forth this afternoon. And we got plenty of football to talk about on tonight's show. Right now, I think everybody's got football contest fever. I've been around the town, different books, signing up for all the contests I possibly can. And there's that late rush to sign up for all these different football contests, Circa, Westgate, Red Rock, Will Hill, wherever you go. And it's pretty exciting times because right now everyone's full of optimism, believing you're going to win. You haven't you really haven't lost anything yet. You haven't had any dreams
unless
crushed.
You're in the college contests, you know.
No dreams have been crushed yet. Tim, it's week one. Even if you had a – what'd you do in the college contest?
I had two different entries. One went 4-3. One did not do so well. So we had two different entries. One did well. One did pretty bad. So we got a bounce out of a hole in one of those spots. But we press on.
When you say not so good, you didn't mention the record. Was it
1-6?
That's not good.
Yeah. The other one is 4-3 though. So I'm optimistic on that one. The 1-6 one, not so much. I've got two different partners. I don't trust that partner anymore, and I trust the other one very well. You mentioned Francis Tiafoe, my DMV brother. He is up 5-4 in a 10-point tiebreak to decide this quarterfinal match in the U.S. Open, so we'll keep our eyes on that. But, Matt, as you mentioned, we do have a busy, busy baseball slate today, and it starts in 5 minutes with Cam Schlittler, your man, back in action. But the big news, Aaron Judge returning to the lineup. Let's hear from the manager of the New York Yankees, Aaron Boone.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to treat it like that. You know, I mean, you know, he won't play the whole game today, even though he wants to. So, you know, I'm going to be mindful of that, especially this first week. You know, he'll probably have one of the days this series off. You know, probably some form of, and again, we'll adjust, you know, each night and what we see, and but want to build him up smartly.
Starting in right field, batting third tonight, Aaron Judge back off the injured list, Matt.
It's always a pleasure to hear Aaron Boone speak. He's so eloquent in the way he talks. Ben Rice, this is a lineup tonight. Ben Rice, Cody Bellinger, Aaron Judge, Luis Garcia, Spencer Jones, Jazz Chisholm, George Lombard, Ryan McMahon, Austin Wells, and Cam Schlittler on the mound. Hopefully he turns in a Cy Young-worthy performance tonight. But this is the type of lineup the Yankees were hoping to have in September and into October. So looking forward to seeing the Yankees and Rockies tonight. One of the biggest baseball betting lines of the season here in this game tonight. In the Bronx, and I want to double-check the info here on this, but the Yankees right here, minus 324 at Circa. They as high as minus 340 out there in the market. According to the Action Network, the largest favorite on the schedule today, obviously, and the fifth largest favorite of the entire season. Yankees reportedly getting 90-plus percent of the bets and the money on this game. And just to be a contrarian, I took the Rockies +1.5, +170. I need the Yankees to win this game by two or more. I need Cam Schlittler to turn in a great performance tonight. But I thought maybe I could win this both ways, right? Schlittler pitches. He has not been getting much run support at all. He gave up 2 hits over 8 innings last week and did not get the win in a game against the Angels. Hopefully tonight he does. But I did take 1.5, but I think it was – I took 1.5 at +160, I think. Yeah, Double check. It says plus 130 on our screen. But I'm pretty sure I got a better number than that.
Well, Matt, I'm sure a lot of people, and you've only got a couple seconds really to put this put this in, but how many people out there have a three-leg money line parlay tonight? Cam Schlittler to The Miz to Scooble tonight as big favorites at home. All three of those Cy Young worthy type of pitchers are heavy favorites tonight. Tarik Skubal and the Dodgers around a minus 320 favorite at some sports. So 295.
295 here. Did you put in that parlay?
I did not, Matt. I did not. Should I? Do you highly recommend that? What could go wrong, Matt?
Well, The Miz could go wrong. The Cubs have hit him before. They could hit him again. He's minus 190 tonight. Cam Schlittler's not been that great at home. You know, we've talked about it. He's been in 16 road starts. Schlittler has a 1.14 ERA. Been remarkable on the road. At home, not so hot. ERA in the high threes, and he's given up too many long balls. Hopefully he can shut down the rotten Rockies tonight, though. Just a little bit of a hedge for me on that Cy Young bet, but not much. Taking plus money at plus 1.5 runs. Yankees should win this game big tonight. And I think Aaron Judge's return to the lineup is going to have them jacked up. I think you'll see the Yankees play with a lot more juice.
Well, I mentioned the Milwaukee Brewers and the Chicago Cubs go at it tonight. I was at American Family Field yesterday, Matt, watching a tremendous game. What a finish between the Brewers and the Cubs. Brewers scoring three runs in the bottom of the eighth inning to take a 4-2 lead. Some incredible defense from Lara and Churio. Also, PCA going yard in that ninth inning. Brewers won 4-3. But Jacob Mizorowski gets the nod tonight, Matt. You mentioned the last time out, he did not do so well. And that just happens to be a pretty big game this evening.
The lights are on and the stakes are high. It's the primetime game of the night.
Before we get to that, Matt, Francis Tiafoe to the U.S. Open semifinal dropped the first two sets to Alex Mickelson, came back 7-5, 6-3, and wins in a tiebreak. And Francis Tiafoe moving on to the U.S. Open semifinal. Right. I will.
That's a bizarre scene right there. Look at that.
Yeah.
They're hugging after the match, and Mickelson
is breaking
bawling,
down.
He's bawling his eyes out, and he's bawling on Tiafoe's shoulder. Yeah. Can't. I don't know what's
You love tennis,
on.
Man. It's your favorite sport.
I don't like the crying. I don't know.
There's no crying in tennis. Didn't someone say? Oh, that's a different one. Oh, that was
There shouldn't be any crying in men's tennis anyway. But
Tiafoe
with a great comeback. He was down two sets and really showed a lot there to come back and win this thing. And I believe Mitch and Paul mentioned that the live line at one point in the fifth set was Mickelson minus 600.
Yeah, I was curious. Maybe we'll check around and see when Mickelson was at his highest after winning the first two sets, but Tiafoe battles back, gets the win, and he is off to the U.S. Open semifinal. Matt, tonight we get Jacob Mizorowski. You mentioned the last time he started against the Chicago Cubs, gave up five earned runs on five hits over just four innings of work. The strikeout numbers have not been through the roof, and I know producer of Money Moves, Justin Emery, has been tracking these strikeout leader props over the past couple of weeks, and he has been a guy that has been way too inflated in the market, Matt. Here's his last handful of starts. 5-6-6-6, and then 9 strikeouts going back to early August. So Jacob Mizorowski on the hill tonight. Big favorites are the Milwaukee Brewers, as high as minus 210 in the market here at Circa, minus 193. And if you want to bet on the Cubs, plus 178 tonight in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I don't dislike David Peterson, the lefty who's going for the Cubs tonight, but I am not going to play this game. The Miz against the Cubs at Wrigley Field last Wednesday got hit pretty hard, gave up five hits and a homer in four innings, and Cubs actually Brewers came back to win that game 9-5, but the Miz got knocked out after four. Now, he did face the Cubs in Milwaukee. That was on June 26th, six innings, two hits. He did walk four, gave up one run, struck out eight, so much better start for him that time. His previous two starts against the Cubs were much better. Last week, the Cubs got to him, and it might be a matter of the Miz wearing down a little bit late in the season because he's never had this many innings on his arm, into September, and I don't think he's been as dominant. You'd probably agree with that. He's not been as dominant here in the past month or so.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. So Cubs and Brewers, our game of the night starts in about 30 minutes. Brewers, big favorites with the Miz Kid on the hill. Will we see PCA go yard again? Hit his 41st home run of the season last night. Also stole two bases. So he was in MVP form yesterday afternoon at or in Milwaukee. Cam Schlittler, Matt, underway his start as Aaron Judge. They show him in the stands, and I'm sure he's getting quite the ovation from the faithful in right field there at Yankee Stadium.
First time since May 31st we've seen Judge out there for the Yankees. 3 months, over 3 months off. He's going to be a little bit rusty when he comes back, but I do think he's going to give the Yankees a big boost. And you know, obviously, Will Hill and I have talked about this at length because we love to do Yankees updates on
this
show.
Hashtag Yankees updates.
Yeah, and, you know, we were hoping to see Judge by the 1st of September. Yeah, you know, so to see him come back here on, what's today?
September 8th. Yeah,
to see him come back by the 8th is good enough. So hopefully he's going to be healthy into October and ready to roll because this Yankees pitching staff setting up pretty well for the postseason.
Cam Schlittler strikes out the second batter of the game, and we are underway at Yankee Stadium. We've also got a big one between the Rays and the Braves, Matt. The two top dogs in the respective Eastern divisions of the American and National League. And right now, the Tampa Bay Rays are a slight dog on the road at Atlanta tonight. The Braves around minus $1.16. Coming up bottom of the hour, the mustache man himself, Brett McMurphy, America's Insider, will join us. We'll go behind the counter with Jeff Sherman later on in the show. And pro bettor Eddie Walls in hour number two. We're up and running. It is VSiN primetime on a busy Tuesday night.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Alongside Matt Eumanns, I'm Tim Murray. Atlanta Braves and Tampa Bay Rays about to get underway down in the ATL. Good first inning for Matt's man, Cam Schlittler, and we will see Aaron Judge in just a couple of batters. Ben Rice leads off for the New York Yankees. Over at the U.S. Open, Matt, Francis Tiafoe dropped the first two sets, comes all the way back. He moves on to the U.S. Open semifinals for a third time, where he will meet the winner of tonight's Ben Shelton-Carlos Alcaraz match. Alcaraz north of a $4 favorite. Matt, tomorrow night, you and I will be on the air for the start of the NFL season. It'll be good to have the NFL back. We'll be back in the full swing of things, a little Wednesday night football because of the Thursday game in the States, Friday morning game over in Australia between the Rams and the Niners. We'll get to that one here in just a little bit. But as we take a look at the board, Matt, right now, Seattle, the defending Super Bowl champion, anywhere from 3 to 3.5 point favorite against the New England Patriots in a rematch of the last NFL game we saw.
Yeah, and it was not a thriller. I watched the replay last night. It was on NFL Network after midnight, and just reminded you what a boring Super Bowl that was and really how pathetic the Patriots' performance was. And it was disappointing because I was on the Patriots in the game, and they didn't show up looking prepared, and they didn't show up, I thought, well-coached, and they didn't show up ready to play. Drake May looked like he was lost in that game. Offensive line didn't do a good job protecting him. There were so many breakdowns on behalf of the Patriots in that game. It was pretty embarrassing, actually. I thought it was when you watch the game live and then watch the game again last night. I was like, man, what did Mike Vrabel and his staff do for the 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl? Totally out-coached by Mike McDaniel. And his staff.
McDaniel,
whatever. I was at McDonald's this afternoon. I should have been able to get that. Mike McDonald and his staff totally outcoached Vrabel and his staff in that game. And the Seattle defense has shut down pretty much everything the Patriots tried to do. So, you know, I like to play dogs. Not that interested in the dog here. I think 3 is a bit of a cheap number. And if anything, I would probably play the favorite, but I don't know if I'm going to play it right now. I just I do think the Patriots are improved. I thought they made some big moves in the offseason, and this offense is going to be better than it was a year ago. And the offense, frankly, for the Patriots was not very good at the end of last season. If you think about the AFC Championship game and the Super Bowl, and really even before that, Drake May, I thought, fizzled in the postseason. But he played at a high level before that, but he fizzled in the last few games of the postseason. I still think this Patriots team could be pretty good. I believe in the Super Bowl hangover. I didn't bet any Patriots futures this year. But it's interesting. I think the sharper money in the market here was taking 3.5 with the Pats.
Saw this stat today, Matt. Since 2000, Super Bowl losers in week one, mm-hmm. the following year, 6-20 against the spread. But to your point, seen a lot of the hooks get scooped up, including here at Circa, thought to be a much sharper book. So Seattle laying a juice three against the New England Patriots tomorrow night at Lumen Field. Aaron Judge, by the way, has stepped into the batter's box for his return here to the lineup, and not exactly sure what is happening, as we now have some sort of maybe communication error for the Colorado Rockies. So we will get a elongated at bat for Aaron Judge after the first pitch to Judge was a bit low. So
our game of the night is Cubs Brewers. You were out there last night. You saw a hell of a game.
Did.
On Monday. Pete Crow Armstrong homered yesterday, 41 homers, 35 stolen bases. And, you know, we mentioned it a week ago Monday on this show. I think it was stating the obvious at that time. I thought the MVP race was over a week ago Monday. You just take the prop off the board now. It's sealed. It's
yeah.
done.
Yeah, he has stepped up his game to another level. And, you know, he got on base twice yesterday prior to his home run in the ninth inning. And every time he got on first base, you knew everyone in the whole stadium knew he was going to steal second. And they couldn't do anything about it. He stole it easily in both attempts there. So Pete Crow Armstrong had a pretty strong performance yesterday, hit a homer, but because of a tremendous defensive play in the previous at-bat by Luis Lara out in right field, there was no one on base, and he was just hitting a solo home run. But it was a really good game yesterday between the Brewers and the Cubs, and the Brewers lead now 8 games in the division after a not-so-great weekend as Aaron Judge. Ooh, man, I thought that was groove there, but a slider low and away. So a 2-1 count here to Aaron Judge and his return to the Yankees lineup.
That was a pitch he probably should take deep. I think that might be a reflection of his timing being a little bit slow there, his bat speed being a little bit slow after 3 months off, because that pitch was grooved right there. That was like a batting practice fastball. You got to take that one into the seats. We have a home run in Atlanta. Can you see the TV over there? I think it's the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah, homer. Tampa Bay Rays have hit a home run. Guess who it is? Junior Caminaro, his 39th home run of the season. And the Rays strike first with 2 outs in the top of the first down in Atlanta. So Junior Caminaro, one of the hottest hitters in all of baseball, he goes yard to make it 1-0 Tampa here in the top of the first inning. Some really good baseball, as mentioned, going on tonight. So we got the screens all set up. And keeping our eyes on some pennant races.
Got to give Mitch Moss some credit. I was listening to VSiN when I was driving in, and Mitch was all over the Mets. He said, yeah, you got to play the Mets. Mets are the right side tonight. And he gave a bunch of reasons, and he talked Paulie Howard into it. And look at this. The Mets are up 5-0 in the top of the third in Miami. Not there yet, but a great start. And Mitch was, you can tell he had a strong opinion on the Mets. Also, Reed Detmers, lefty, going for the Angels tonight. And he's been really good. Angels did not want to trade him. And Aaron Judge just strikes out, by the way, first at-bat. Reed Detmers going tonight for the Angels. I thought it could be a live dog. You just don't know if they're going to get much run support for Detmers. But the Angels do have a 1-0 lead on Boston, top of the third at Fenway.
Yeah, right now Boston, 2 games back of the Yankees for the top wild card spot. Both those teams well ahead of the Guardians and everyone else for the wild card. Yankees 4 games back of the Tampa Bay Rays as we are in the final month of the season, as the Yankees will get a 2-out base hit here from Luis Garcia Jr., and they'll have men on first and third as Cody Bellinger goes over to third. Actually, Luis Garcia will go to second after the ball was booted in the outfield. And now,
oh no, man, you got to be kidding
me. That is, ladies and gentlemen, the Colorado Rockies at their finest. They boot the ball in the outfield, and then we don't even see the camera angle. And somehow the ball ends up at the backstop. I mean, this is The Little League World Series was a week ago, and saw better baseball in Williamsport than this.
Don't insult the Little Leaguers. The Little Leaguers are better than this.
What is going on?
So he throws the ball back to the infield. Nobody's paying attention, and the ball rolls all the way to the backstop, and Cody Bellinger scores. That is a ridiculous joke.
They're switching camera angles to try to figure out what the hell just happened. So they boot the ball, literally boot it. They kick it about 20 feet in front, and then the ball just gets lobbed in. No one's paying attention, and a run scores. Yankees lead 1-0.
Well, Yankees would be up 2-0 if that bum Aaron Judge didn't strike out.
Right? By the way, another homer for Mitch's bet in the New York Mets. 6-0 Mets. Good work, Mitch. Bring that one home here tonight. So 6-0 Mets. 6-0 Guardians, by the way. The Guardians right now clinging to the final wild card spot. It's actually a pretty big series with them and the Baltimore Orioles. The Orioles gave some people some hope just a little while ago, but not the case. What are we laughing at?
I forgot. Paul Howard made a conviction. He made a strong case for the Orioles. That's not going well.
That is not going well tonight. 6-0, bottom of the third inning right now. And on the hill, Tanner Beebe has thrown 2 1/3 scoreless innings. I'm watching the replay of this. No one's paying attention. The ball just gets lofted into the middle of the infield. No one's paying attention. A run is that two? It's two errors on one play, man.
And the outfielder is blaming the infielders for not seeing his throw that was meant for nobody. He just threw the ball in to nobody, and it rolls to the backstop, and he's blaming the infielder.
I'm pretty sure Jake McCarthy's going to get – he got ruled for two errors. He just throws the ball in the middle of the infield. The catcher's not paying attention, and a run score. I mean, it feels like we're watching, you know, the April months of Major League when they were just absolutely dreadful. As the inning comes to a close.
Spencer Jones strikes out, and the Rockies get out of it. You do have to wonder, too, what was the catcher doing? Catcher's standing there. He's not watching.
He was out to lunch. He's like, just look it up.
That was
two errors on
bizarre.
One play.
That's why the Rockies are the Rockies.
That's why the New York Yankees really were the biggest favorite of the day and, fifth biggest favorite of the entire season.
That's right. We'll see. That's not the way I thought the Yankees might get run support for Cam Swetler tonight, but that's a new way to get a run, Tim.
Matt, we're going to talk to the mustached man, our good friend Brett McMurphy, coming up bottom of the hour. What's the latest with the MAC and Western Michigan as the aftermath of that debacle? Speaking of debacles, what was a bigger debacle? The play we just saw there by Jake McCarthy or the ref's decision to put another second on the clock in the Big House on Saturday night? I know the answer. What happened in Ann Arbor? Unbelievable what we saw. But what's the aftermath of that? Brett McMurphy has the latest as we will be joined by him. We are underway. Our game of the night about to get underway too. The Miz Kid on the hill tonight for the Brewers.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Alongside Matt Eumanns, I'm Tim Murray. Yankees up 1-0. Cam Schlittler picks up another strikeout. Our game of the night will get underway in about 10 minutes in Milwaukee as the Brewers, around $2 favorites against the Chicago Cubs tonight. Jacob Mizorowski on the hill. But we got a lot of college football to talk about, Matt. So let's head to our progressive guest line and welcome in our good friend, Brett McMurphy, America's insider on 3 Sports. You could follow him on Twitter at Brett_McMurphy. We've heard the final ruling from the NCAA. Not that surprising. This will be official. Michigan is technically the winner, 13-12. Brett, from the folks that you've talked to and what you've gathered, what has been the kind of aftermath, if you will, of this crazy finish in Ann Arbor on Saturday night?
Yeah, Tim, I think the biggest thing is that basically if there's a discrepancy between the super secret replay clock or whatever replay officials were looking at and the scoreboard and what the millions of people are seeing on their television, I think the NFL uses this also. You go with the score. You go with the in-house scoreboard. You go with the stadium scoreboard. You don't go with a clock that only three people can see. And that's the biggest issue for that with me. Look, I've got no dog in the fight. I could care less who won that game or not. Obviously, you like to see the underdog win. But, you know, I'm not from Michigan. I don't hate Michigan, don't love Michigan. But, yeah, that was a farce. That's a tragedy that happened. Again, do you want to lead into all the conspiracy theories by showing some clock that, you know, magically has 001 second on there? Or do you go by what's on the scoreboard and what everyone else is seeing? Because, again, think about, you know, all the different instances on the field where people are looking at the clock, whether it's a play clock, whether it's trying to get out of bounds before the 2-minute warning. I mean, a million different things where if the replay clock is a second off and you know, reviewed everything, you know, I'm sure there'd be countless examples where things would have changed. Are we going to review every delay of game now? Well, let's go to the replay clock. They had a second left. You know, if the clock didn't run out. So yeah, it's another day ending in Y with college football that something really stupid is happening. So we shouldn't be surprised by it.
Maybe in the next day that ends in Y, LSU will get kicked out of the SEC. We're waiting to find out about that.
Yeah.
Brett McMurphy with us. So McMurphy, you know, I do believe in certain conspiracy theories, and this is a screw job on Western Michigan. Don't believe anything the Big Ten's saying. It's all BS. And Western Michigan got robbed, plain and simple, what happened here. So the Broncos had a 20-play drive in this game. This is not a fluke that they were up 12-7 late. But when you look at the setup here for Michigan hosting Oklahoma this week, do you think this warrants a 7-point line move? Michigan was a 1.5-point favorite before the weekend, and now a 5.5-point dog.
I don't, Matt. And knowing your background, I'm guessing you're probably going to hold your nose and take the Wolverines.
Maybe.
I think it's an overreaction. But again, there's some real issues there with Bryce Underwood.
Sure.
And what they're doing offensively. They did, you know, Western Michigan lost their defensive coordinator. So they had a new guy in there. They basically throttled Michigan all game. This, again, kind of like what you referenced, this was not a fluke. And now, you know, you see the number switch 7 points. God, usually when that happens, you know, when everyone zigs, you want to zag, go the other way. That's probably what you're leaning. I would take Michigan or I would sit it out. I'm not comfortable laying that many points with Oklahoma. Their defense is solid. Their offense, you know, I know they put up half a hundred on UTEP, but who doesn't? I'm not convinced with Oklahoma's offense yet. And, you know, sometimes when everybody's against you, you know, it kind of gets a team all going in the same direction, kind of pulls them all together. Certainly saw that with LSU against Clemson. So, it's either Michigan or nothing for me.
Yeah, I mentioned that many times last year. I was out on Bryce Underwood, and obviously he's not improved. This new coaching staff has not turned him around. He just doesn't see the field well, doesn't make good decisions, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's got a short leash. If Kyle Whittingham changes quarterbacks in
this
game,
give him a ringing endorsement
the other
day either.
We're going to get to that audio clip later in the show tonight, but he didn't endorse Underwood like, yeah, this is my guy. I'm going to stick with him. So,
Matt, that may be just simply motivate. That may be pushing his buttons where he knows, okay, I got to light a fire under his butt, and this is the way to go at it. That coaches have done that. Whittingham's been around forever. Maybe that's his way to kind of spur him on. We'll see if it works or backfires.
Brett McMurphy on 3 Sports with us. Brett, how about the aftermath of what happened in the Clemson LSU game? Where does Clemson go from here with Dabo, and is LSU that good?
I don't think LSU's that good, but Clemson may be that, to quote Lane Kiffin, dysfunctional on offense. They just couldn't do anything. I'm sure you guys saw the clips of Clemson's offensive linemen literally,
yes,
you know, going the wrong way and opening up the Red Sea for multiple, or Purple Sea, I guess, for multiple Tigers to come through. Incredible, impressive victory. But, you know, we'll learn a lot more about LSU in a little less than 2 weeks when they go to Ole Miss for the game of the millennium. Ole Miss, very good offense. Jeff Braum, the underdog king getting a touchdown covers, but Ole Miss pulls out the win. We'll get a much better read on LSU, back-to-back games, Ole Miss and A&M. And then the you know, a November to remember, Alabama, Texas at Tennessee, consecutive games. They certainly look like a playoff team. I'm not ready to anoint them as national champs. I think they're favorites on one of the prediction markets, which is crazy. I wonder what the no would pay on that. But, you know, yeah, they look better than I think. Can they hold up over the entire season? I'm not so sure. But Clemson, yeah, boy, they really don't look good. I mean, with the remaining schedule, I'm not sure if they can even get to a bowl game, which, you know, I'm an Oklahoma State guy. It's starting to resemble Mike Gundy 2.0 with what's going on with Dabo.
Brett McMurphy joining us here, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. Speaking of Oklahoma State, they might get a pretty angry Oregon on Saturday. What was your big takeaway from Oregon-Boise State? Was it more so, wow, Boise State is much better than maybe we had anticipated, or we've got some questions about Oregon?
I personally undersold Boise. Mm-hmm. I was surprised they hung around. But then, you know, I saw a lot of the game. I'm sure you guys did too. But then when I, you know, went inside the box score, if you will, in Oregon was my national title pick. And I'm not concerned about that. Oregon outgained Boise State by over 200 yards. I mean, Dante Moore threw for almost 400 yards. He averaged almost 10 yards an attempt. So I'm not really concerned about that. They had a turnover. I think the game played a lot closer than the stats laid out. So, again, it's hard to really get concerned, Tim, with any of these teams. Like Notre Dame, impressive win, but it really doesn't mean anything. As long as you don't lose any of these games,
right,
and you just keep winning and you get in this 12-team field, anything can happen. So, you know, I did drop Oregon out of the number one spot on my AP ballot. Also dropped Michigan out of my top 25, but I'm not concerned like, oh, Oregon's not going to the playoff now. I just think every team's not going to have their A game every week, but as everybody overreacts on social media, it's going to act like it's the end of the world. It's like, okay, we won. Don't worry about it. Let's move on and, you know, wait for the seal clubbing in Stillwater.
Oklahoma State a little bit overhyped by a lot of people, too. Based on Cowboys.
I was cautious because everyone's like, oh, they're going to be the next Indiana. I'm like, hold the fort here. I hope you're right, but I've seen coaching changes that didn't work out. Scott Frost at Nebraska is the number one example. I am no way saying that Eric Morris is going to, repeat what Scott Frost did at Nebraska, but I just think it's impossible to know. You never know how these things are going to work out. The same way nobody could have predicted Cignetti
right
would have the greatest turnaround in the history of college football.
All right, Brett, we got about 30 seconds left here. You were in the Circuit Friday Football Invitational a year ago. We'll try to get you back in next season. If you're in this week, what would your best bet be on the college card? Do you have it yet?
Probably some ugly game in the American, maybe FIU over Butler, or excuse me, FIU over Buffalo.
There you go. Buffalo, not super impressive there in week one, as they should have gotten knocked off by FCS Albany, but Albany false started at the 1 yard line.
FIU had a ton of turnovers versus USF, very misleading score there. So take the Golden Panthers.
All right. Lay the 10.5 with FIU. Brett, always appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
There he is. Brett McMurphy, America's Insider, on three. Matt P. Crow Armstrong, step into the plate. Going to be quite the battle between he and the Miz.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Three pitches, three strikes. Sit down, PCA. Jacob Mizorowski struck out Pete Crow Armstrong to start off the ball game in Milwaukee. However, Matt, it has not been smooth sailing for the Miz, as he just gave up a double. So right now, man on second in the top of the first inning in Milwaukee. Pete Crow Armstrong right now facing Alex Bregman. So a Seiya Suzuki double to center after striking out Pete Crow Armstrong, and right now a 1-2 count on Alex Bregman in Milwaukee. The Miz Kid facing the Cubs, your heavy, heavy favorite to win the NL Cy Young. 1-2 pitch about to come, and here it is. And Alex Bregman gets a hold of one, but not deep enough, fly out to center field. Matt, you're not thrilled about what we just saw at Yankee Stadium because Cam Schlittler just gave up a solo homer. It is now 1-1, Rockies and Yankees.
Schlittler throwing a lot of high fastballs tonight, and one just ended up in the seats. So he has not been very good at home. I mentioned that over and over. And that's why tonight against the Rockies, I thought if he can't have a really strong home start at home, you know, against this weak Rockies lineup, he's got some real problems in the Bronx. But that's one hit so far. We'll see if he settles down. Two outs here, top of the third, tie score. And the Yankees just, I mean, it's a fluke that they got a run on the board because of defensive mistakes by the Rockies in the first inning. Yankees are going to have to wake up offensively. They got Judge back tonight, and we'll see if something changes there.
So tonight, Matt, we have Jacob Mizorowski right now at FanDuel, minus 650 to win NL Cy Young. Cam Schlittler, minus 550 to win AL Cy Young. Dylan Cease, plus 360. Chris Sale, 5-1 as their main competition. And you mentioned Pete Crow Armstrong might as well be off the board. Well, he pretty much is. At FanDuel right now, Matt, Pete Crow Armstrong is minus 50,000 to win NL MVP.
A week ago, we talked about this on Monday, and it was minus 1,500, and I said you might as well make it 150,000 to one. Seriously, it was over last Monday, and with Shohei and his injury and his batting slump and unlikelihood that he's going to pitch the rest of the season, this race has been over for at least a week.
Well, Jacob Mizorowski, who's more than likely going to win NL Cy Young, just gives up an RBI single here, Matt. So the Cubs, who got to the Miz in his last start, five runs allowed in four innings. Seiya Suzuki just beats the tag from Contreras, and it is 1-0 Cubs in the top of the first inning as Seiya Suzuki gets his hand in there just before the tag from Contreras there. So an RBI single for the Chicago Cubs, Matt, comes off the bat of Michael Busch, and the Chicago Cubs with an early lead here. And with that lead, they were, what, minus 190. The Brewers were entering this game thereabouts, Matt. And right now, the Cubs still an underdog at DraftKings, but that number has come down considerably. They're plus 115, up 1-0.
You got to have a few concerns about the Miz because, like I said, he's never had this many innings on his arm into September. I think the Brewers would like to give him a break, you know, here and there, and not have him go too deep in the games in September and have him be as, you know, strong as possible when he's making starts in October. But he's definitely not been as dominant recently, and I think the Cubs have seen him enough that he's not going to fool the Cubs too much. He might overpower the Cubs at times, but he's not going to fool them with what he's got. Cam Schlittler here, top of the third, two outs. 2-2 count, Rockies and Yankees in a 1-1 game, and that's strike three. So Schlittler, aside from one pitch, has been pretty strong here so far. By the way, how about this from Mike Locksley? This is one of my least favorite coaches in college football. Did you see this, Tim? You follow Maryland football news, right?
He called them the wrong name, right?
So Mike Locksley opened his news conference today saying, quote, we're getting a jump start on obviously this week's opponent, Toledo. The only problem is Maryland plays UConn this week, not Toledo.
Jason Candle, former Toledo coach, now at UConn. I need Maryland to beat UConn. I don't need them to beat them by 12.5, but I've got a pretty big position on under 6.5 wins for the UConn Huskies. So I would thoroughly enjoy Mike Locksley preparing for UConn, not Toledo, this week up there in where the hell do they play? Hartford? I know UConn is in Stores, but I think their football stadium, the Rent, is in Hartford. Matt, I saw this from Justin Emery. He put out the odds for leading strikeout getter tonight in Major League Baseball. Man, this is a heavy hitting list. You had Scooble 4-1. Cam Schlittler was plus 450. The Miz was 5-1. And Reed Detmers was 10-1. So really good number of pitchers. And I'm curious, Detmers and the Angels off to a good start. They lead 3-0. Detmers off to a strong start. Five strikeouts through three innings here for the Angels starter.
He's been really good. He went head-to-head with Cam Switler last week, and that was a hell of a duel. Detmers has been really strong, and I like the Angels tonight with Detmers. I just wasn't sure if he'd get run support. Didn't bet it. And, of course, Angels offense is waking up tonight. They've got 7 hits and 3 runs and a lead on the Red Sox at Fenway. Red Sox have only 1 hit so far.
We'll see if Tanner Beebe can get out of a little jam in the bottom of the fourth inning in Baltimore. Strong start for the Cleveland Guardians. 6-0 is the lead. Matt, you could always tweet the show. I'm at 1 Tim Murray. You're at Matt Humans 247. Civil Pink says, the Guards are up 6-0. Hashtag Yankees update sucks. He doesn't like our Yankees updates. All right. It's 1-1, by
actually,
the way. Rockies and Yankees right now, bottom of the third inning.
Just let him know that I did mention that the Guardians were up 6-0.
We
earlier
mentioned
in the show.
Yeah,
I did mention that. So
1-1, by the way.
Your tweet sucks.
And the Orioles are on the board. They have a run. 6-1 is the score, bottom of the fourth inning. All right, our game of the night, Matt. Jacob Mizorowski struggling a little bit here in the opening inning. If you had the Yerfie tonight, you are a winner. Cubs already have a run home. Men on the corners right now for the Cubs as we've got Ian Happ at the plate for the Chicago Cubs. What are you laughing at?
Nothing. We got a lot going on here in baseball right now. It's one of the last nights we're going to be focused so much on baseball with football, NFL kicking off tomorrow night. We got football pretty much every night of the week we're in here. But Miz gets a strikeout to sit down the Cubs, and it's still a 1-0 game. I really think these baseball playoffs are going to be outstanding.
Oh, the National League. I mean, even the American League. I mean, Yankees, Red Sox, wild card round. That should be a lot of fun. More than likely at Yankee Stadium. We never know. We'll see how the final month plays out here. Rays and Braves right now. This is a big-time matchup happening down in the ATL. That game tied up at 1-1. Matt?
I feel like this time of year, you know, as a sports bettor, it's going to be different for each person. But me, I spend like 90-some percent of my time on football right now. And maybe, you know, a few minutes on the baseball card every day. You might spend 15 minutes on the baseball card. Most of the matchups you can just toss out right away. There's going to be 3 or 4 games you might think about betting.
Matt, we've got a pretty cool thing going on. We've had this happening for a couple of years now. If you think you're better than the experts, now's your chance to prove it. The Edge Boost Average Joe Contest puts you in the same pick'em format as the Circa Friday Football Invitational, the ones the pros are in. Top Average Joe earns a spot in next year's Circa Invitational field. And it's free to play. I was actually talking to someone after my show on Saturday, talking about how they love the Average Joe contest. You could register anytime during the season. Edge Boost is offering its customers a $1,000 deposit if you finish first for the week. Don't have Edge Boost account yet? Sign up at edgeboost.io with the promo code VSIN and make sure your account is funded with at least $100. Enter the contest today, vsin.com/Joe. That's VSIN.com/Joe. Coming up top of the hour, we will go behind the counter with Jeff Sherman. We'll get an update on all of these Circa contests. Big news yesterday, Matt, officially surpassing 20,000 entries into Circa Survivor.
Yeah, it happened during our show last night. Will Hill and I talked about it. It was up to 20,179 at one point late in our show last night.
20,281 right now is the number on the board behind us.
Everyone expects it's going to top to a 25,000 or a $25 million pot at this point.
Not too shabby. By the way, earlier today as we started the show, and I know Mitch and Paul were keeping a very close eye on it, Francis Tiafoe down 2 sets in his quarterfinal match at the U.S. Open, came back and won in 5 sets, winning the tiebreaker in that 5th set. DraftKings Sports has tweeted out, Matt, that Francis Tiafoe's live money line odds reached as high as 29-1. So Tiafoe, big foe, comes all the way back and gets the win, and you could have grabbed him at DK for as high as 29-1. 1-1 is the score, and we get a diving play from the gentleman who had 2 errors in the same play off of Ben Rice in right field. McCarthy, the right fielder for the Colorado Rockies. 1-1 remains the score at Yankee Stadium. The Brewers taking on the Cubs tonight in our game of the night. And Jackson Churio leads off the bottom of the first with a double to right center field. 1-0 Cubs, with the Brewers already with a man in scoring position. That's Matt Humans. I'm Tim Murray. Circa Survivor, Circa Millions, Circa Grandissimo. Where are they at? Where do they expect to go? And sharp action for week one, all with Jeff Sherman from Circa Sports next.